Blog Talk Radio.
Striper and Battle Hymn of the Republic to awake you out of your sleep on a Monday morning. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. It is Monday, February 17th, and I'll tell you, spring is really starting to get in the air. We are moving from the frigid to the more beautiful, for lack of a better term. This morning, we are moving, I hope, out of the frigid, cold, freezing, frostbitten winter. It's been kind of tough so far, and I'm looking forward to an early spring. That's what the groundhog says, so we're looking forward to that. On the broadcast this morning, I want to update us on the latest information I have on my dear friend, Mary Fatima Mohammadi. And on the last program, past Thursday, I had a great guest, Mona Saba Ernest, and she's a former Muslim, and we had a great conversation. But since then, I wanted to update you with what's happening with Mary. I have some new information that became available from HARNA, that's the Human Rights News Agency. And from their sources, they were able to say more of what happened to Mary on the day of her arrest, which was January 12th, 2020 of this year, during a protest rally in Azadi Square in Tehran. When she was arrested, according to HARNA, there were female and male agents that on the spot, they began to beat her. So one of the first things they did besides arresting her was to beat her, and when I read that, it just sent shockwaves through me. Then they took Mary, and I guess several others from the protest, to the Vizara Detention Center. I know about Vizara. My dear friends, Miriam and Marzea, who wrote Captive in Iran, they were transferred there because of their Christian activities, because of distributing Bibles. One of the first places they went was Vizarro. It's filthy. While at Vizarro Detention Center, I guess that same day, evening, or maybe the next morning, I'm not sure of the time, Mary was beaten tremendously again. So much so that the description was that her bruises on her body remained very terrible, I guess, for 3 weeks, very visible on her body. So she was beaten during her arrest and then beaten once again severely at the detention center by male and female agents. She was forced to strip twice and be searched and humiliated. But that's not all. On top of that, Mary was made to sit outside in the cold among the toilets. Now, I don't know exactly the sequence of events as to why they did that, other than the fact that they're brutal. But she was also brought 30 questions to answer. And I'm assuming that some of those questions pertain to her Christian activities, her being on Twitter, her criticism of the government, her support of Christian friends, her interview with the foreign media. I'm sure all of those questions had to do with her Christian context. She refused to answer any of those. Now, of course, then she was transferred to Korchak prison, which I've reported before. While at Korchak, she was set bail. Her parents, of course, worked very hard. She was set bail at 30 million tomans, which is equivalent to about $2,500 U.S. money. That is very hard for anyone living in Iran, but they managed to collect the bail. But at the time of collecting it, during that time, Mary, her case was transferred to a higher court, which basically means that they are not going to grant her bail for a while, according to the source. They probably won't get to her case because of all the activities in Iran going on with the 41st anniversary of the forming of the Islamic Republic. And so HARNA basically said that her case could be in limbo. HARNA, I keep saying that wrong, I apologize. That her case could be in limbo for a while, even though the parents have raised the money. She may be held. She's held on charges of belonging to illegal protesting. This is basically the charges, and they are very brutal to the protesters in Iran. I remember specifically one of the last chats I had with Mary, and she was talking about the death of Soleimani. How do you feel about that, Randy, from a Christian point of view? I explained to Mary, I'm glad that he is no longer alive to kill and threaten any more Iranians and Iranian protesters and the Middle East, and I was very happy. I said, also, though, I'm very sad because God doesn't even take pleasure in the death of the wicked because he knows this man is going to spend eternity apart from him and Christ in hell forever. So on that note, I explained to her my feelings. She said she was very happy, very sympathetic to the many Iranian families that lost their loved ones in the downed Ukrainian jetliner. And that's what she was doing. She was expressing her sympathies with the protesters on the night of her arrest. I have a good friend named Scott Payne who's going to be on the broadcast coming up this weekend on a very special Saturday. He works with Voice of the Martyrs. Scott does a lot of great volunteer work, awakening and bringing awareness to people in the church about the persecuted church. He does a lot of work about individuals who are in prison. He's been working very hard on Mary's case, and we might be able to have access to send her letters in Korchak prison very soon. So this is very encouraging through Voice of the Martyrs. This is the latest update on Mary. And again, I ask that you please continue praying for her. She needs our thoughts and prayers. She needs our voices all the time. Her case, all the way to the White House, President Trump mentioned it at the prayer breakfast. Secretary of State Pompeo has recently mentioned her case. This is very encouraging to me because I think that because it's garnered so much international attention now, They're going to be very careful of the way they treat Mary. I believe that. And this can work in dear Mary's favor. But continue to please pray for Mary. I will continue to post and to keep us updated at all times about what's going on with her. Now, I want to take us to a subject that's important. It's once again the fraudulent elections that go on in Iran. The parliamentary re-elections are going to take place this Friday. And I want you to hear from Brian Hook at the State Department as he describes what's really going on during these parliamentary
the
elections.
The Iranian regime is holding what it calls elections on February 21st. The regime would have you believe that these are free and fair elections. But the real voting takes place in secret and long before February 21st. The clerics pick the winners and losers before the ballots are even cast. Many Iranians want to run for office. Many of them want a representative government. But the regime blocks them from running. And how exactly does the regime do this? Candidates are vetted and approved by the Guardian Council, a group of 12 unelected clerics. These clerics are loyal to the Supreme Leader. This Guardian Council is chaired by a man named Ahmad Janati, a cruel and wicked cleric in his 90s who has praised the killing of political dissidents. The elections on February 21st are pure theater that exists to deceive the world about the tyranny in Tehran. In addition to blocking candidates through the Guardian Council, the regime regularly engages in election fraud. It commits violence against voters and abuses their human rights. Does this sound like a government prepared to listen to the voice of the people or to respect their choices at the ballot box? Today, the Iranian regime is facing a crisis of legitimacy and credibility. This is a mess entirely of its own making. We call on the Iranian regime to respect the aspirations of the Iranian people. Give them a real choice and let their voice be heard.
That is Brian Hook with the State Department, who does an awful lot to support the Iranian protesters, the Iranian people. Basically, he's outlining the fraudulent parliamentary elections coming up. What's going on in Iran right now is Khomeini wants absolute rule over everything. He's rejected any reformist candidates. And what's going on as the journalists in Iran are being muzzled. Intelligence agents are summoning Iranian journalists, raiding their homes, confiscating their equipment. It's a campaign to silence criticism of state policies ahead of this month's parliamentary elections. 10 journalists have been targeted by the intelligence arm of the elite Islamic Republic Guard troops over the past 2 weeks. The crackdown is targeting journalists, activists who maintain active social media accounts. Those targeted include human rights defender Bahera Hidayat, a former political prisoner who was detained on February 10th. Muzzling journalists, detaining activists, and disqualifying parliamentary candidates will not silence, though, dissident in Iran, as you can see by the recent protests and what they have revealed. Well, we hear about all of the bad news that's going on in Iran. We hear of how they're treating my dear Iranian friend Mary. But I want to take us right now to the part of the broadcast that is so important for all Iranians, for all of us to listen to. We just celebrated Valentine's Day a few days ago. And in Iran, Valentine's Day is banned, of course. But Valentine's Day reminds me about God, because God is love. He's called the God of irresistible love. And one of the most beautiful parables that Jesus ever taught, demonstrating and revealing the intimate heart of God's love, was the parable of the prodigal son. It's a constant theme that runs throughout the pages of Scripture. It's the theme about God's irresistible love. The Bible portrays God as a God of immeasurable love and compassion for his children. And even when his children fall into idolatrous practices and they chase after other false gods, God pursues them with his irresistible love. That's in contrast to the Quran that teaches Allah does not love the transgressor, does not love the wayward person. In Islam, you must earn Allah's love. But in Christianity, even those that wander away, God in his infinite, irresistible love pursued him. And though his heart is grieved, God never stops loving his children, even when they abuse that love that he has freely lavished upon them. Now, a perfect example of what I'm talking about, this irresistible love, is found in the parable that Jesus told and taught about the prodigal son. Jesus was a master storyteller about the love and compassion of his heavenly Father. One day, his disciples and the religious leaders gathered around him as he began to tell his most favorite and famous parable. Jesus told the story about a father who had two sons. One day, his younger son demanded his share of the inheritance. Now, I want it now, Father. So the father divided up his wealth between these two sons. The younger son quickly departed for another country, and he wasted all of his inheritance and his father's money for him on wanton, wild, and promiscuous living. He had a big party. Well, but desperate for money, the younger son, finally one day, he was desperate. He had spent all of his money. He decided, okay, I'm going to take a job feeding pigs. And there was a famine at that time in the land. And the son, he was so hungry that even the pig's pods looked appetizing to him. One day, the son came to his senses. You know, he wanted to go back home. He knew what his father, he was so convinced his father would disown him. He said, well, you know, I'll just beg for his mercy and hope that he just makes me a hired servant. I know I can no longer be his son. I know he hates me. He's very upset with me. And while this younger son was on his way home, his father saw him afar off in the distance. And at this point in the parable, Jesus explained, he emphasized how the father reacted to seeing his son. Instead of being angry and bitter over what his son has done, he ran to his son. He embraced his son. And he kissed him. The father welcomed the son in his arms of forgiveness and rejoiced that he was returning home. He declared, "We must celebrate with a feast," the father proclaimed, "for this son of mine was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." Well, after telling this powerful parable, and there's more to it, but I want to stop right there. After telling this powerful parable, you would think that the listeners around Jesus would rejoice, but the religious leaders were appalled and offended. Their concept of God was one of anger and punishment, certainly not grace and forgiveness. And so they were angry. The religious leaders were angry at this parable. But this parable perfectly illustrates the God that Jesus frequently spoke about. He is Heavenly Father. He never stops loving his wayward and sinning children. He is a God of irresistible love that will pursue us to the end of the earth and win back our hearts and affections for him. So my question this morning to you is this. What is your concept of God, just based on what I've shared with you? Do you carry a heavy burden of guilt and shame? Well, Jesus spoke this parable for a person just like you. Instead of being tormented by guilt, cry out to God today. And just like in the parable, God will run toward you and embrace you in his arms of mercy and compassion. As we close out the program today, I want to share with you a song that has simply impacted my life so deeply. Whenever I hear this song, I think of my dear friend Mary, who is anything but a casual Christian. She's a bold, courageous lady of God. And it makes me think about my commitment to Christ. She lives in a country where there is no religious freedom. I live in a country where there is religious freedom. And it tells me something about Mary. She's not a casual Christian, and neither can I be one. I want you to hear this song right now by DeGarmo and Key. That is the powerful and convicting music of DeGarmo and Key, Casual Christian. It's a wake-up call for all of us. It's a song that I dedicate to my dear friend Mary, but I think about the implications of being casual Christians. You know about the verse in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus says, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you might be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This was a church in Laodicea that was so self-sufficient. It's the Joel Osteen church. I'm sorry if I name names, but I'm saying that's what it is. It's that kind of church today where they have no concept of what it means to live like Mary and any other Iranian Christian who are bold in their faith in a country which has locked the door to Christianity. And there are so many Iranian Christians that are willing to go to prison simply because they love Jesus and they love religious freedom. This church could never in a million years exist in Iran. This is the church, unfortunately, which is so popular today. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. You must deny yourself. This is a church that's rich in self-sufficiency, rich in the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. They have so removed themselves from real Christianity. And this song is simply a wake-up call for all of us. It simply says, don't be a casual Christian. Either be hot or cold. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't fail, because I do and we all do. It means, what is the direction of your heart? What is the focus of your life? And as you think about the implications of this song, it's a motivator. It doesn't bring me guilt. It brings me motivation to live each day to the glory of God and to remember those that are in chains, as if I were there with them, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Remember your brothers and sisters in chain, as if you can feel their pain and you were there with them. It's so important that we keep our focus on the kingdom, on the prize, on Christ. And when we do, we can never be a casual Christian. You know, it'll be so much different. I want to say a big hello to Mary, to Melissa, and thank all of you for coming to the program today. You are such a blessing, such an encouragement. Thank you for your continued prayers for Mary. I will keep us updated this Saturday, special show with Scott Payne from Voice of the Martyrs. We're going to talk about writing letters to prisoners, what we can do to support them. God bless you. I will see you this special Saturday on the next Cross in the Desert.